I'm sure you've got questions in the media. They won't be of me. I reckon they'd be to some of these guys, so go for your life.
How many boys, Steve, initially will be in the
I think roughly about 18, but I think present today there's 12 or 13. So as Steve mentioned, the academy starts from 10 years of age up to 18.
What are the advantages of having such an academy?
Sorry?
What are the advantages of, what do you guys get out of...
It's to recognise past players and their sons, that they've got a connection to the club. Certainly, to be able to improve those young boys. Now, ultimately, you know, we'd like them to play for our football club, but it's more than that. Obviously, a lot of the boys are going to go through their teenage years, and as a club, we're here for them both on the field and off the field. So, it's to develop them not only as players but as people.
What would be a good striker, Steve, in terms of how many actually go on to play AFL?
Well, I think the stats will tell you that probably father, sons, our club gets them one every 8 years, gets one player every 8 years. So if we can improve that, that'd be great.
What will that actually involve? Training once a week?
Look, there's strict guidelines in terms of what you can do and what you can't do, and that... depends on what age group you actually fit in. So, but ultimately, we've got a development coach now, an academy coach that can actually work with the kids as a group, but hopefully one-on-one. If we get AFL approval, there's certain guidelines that we need to go through to be able to do that.
Is this a first AFL first, or are there other clubs?
No, I'm sure there's at least another two or three. I know the Bulldogs and Essendon have actually got academies. There might be others out there as well.
And a good sign for the club that later on this year, perhaps the Rices are in attendance today.
Yeah, look, obviously, we've got Dean and Bailey here, and Dean, past Carlton player and Premiership player, and Bailey's here, so he's got a decision to make. So I think he's got three options. You can choose the Blues, the Saints, or just go into the draft. So he's in a good position.
Steve, you've got three sons potentially all could be playing Carlton in later years. Jack's the one coming through this year. Talk us through how you'll handle that as a recruiter and as a father.
Yeah, look, I think as soon as I started the club, I mean, we basically... or the club and myself agreed that I'll have nothing to do with the selection process of any of my boys. So that'll be handled by our recruiting team, the Carlton recruiting team, and Andy McKay.
It's still a very tough situation for you, though. So, what are the challenges that I guess you face?
I don't know. When you sort of look at the, if you're actually doing your job properly and you look at the talent coming through, you basically get a list in order. So, there are a number of things that have sort of changed with the father-son academy bidding and also, obviously, the other academies from the northern states. So all that's under review at the moment. There's nothing final. I think there's some final tinkering to be done with that particular proposal. But... the system has changed. It's not like the old system. There's a point system, there's a bidding system, there's talking about some live bidding as well, so it'll just take place on the night of the draft.
But emotionally, it must be...
ultimately, it'd be nice to see your boys play for the club that you played with, but there's no guarantee of that.
Peter, you're a pretty low-key topic. What's it mean to have your name put on the academy?
It's a very big honour, as you... there's a lot of players and fathers and sons that play at the club, and Dylan Buck was the face of it at the moment. So, very big honour, as long as it helps out the club in some way. So, to be the first is, as I said, an honour, but there'll be many more after this, and many more players come through as being the father and son. Hopefully my rank young bloke, but Ben's always, they always ask me what he's going to do, and I said, I'm probably just going to be a ballet dancer or something like that. So, takes the pressure off a little bit. He won't be too happy about that. He's starting to learn a bit of it. But it's a great honour, but it's only the start for a lot of these young guys on their journey, and if they can learn something from the academy, as Stephen and both Stephens have said, it'll take them onto their life, and it's not a bad lifestyle and a very good learning curve.
Stephen, you've spoken about getting back to the Carlton supporter base. Is this a part of that, getting back to the roots?
I was just sitting here thinking how culturally fantastic this is.
So it's all of that. It's culturally fantastic. I mean, it has its very practical, functional application, but if you talk about the culture of a footy club, and sometimes that word gets overused, but it's a very real thing. I'm sitting here thinking what a great thing culturally for our club. To have some of Carlton's greatest contributors back in the room today, to have their sons involved, for us to try and help them with their footy careers and their even some of their lives more generally, I think it's a fantastic thing for our club. And I think our supporters will love it.
Steve, Andrew Kay said on the weekend that the club wouldn't go down the St Kilda model and strip everything right back. I mean, obviously there was the rebuild word was thrown around earlier in the year, but how do you see, I mean, has the club been pleasantly surprised by the emergence of not just Cripps but also Graham over recent weeks and Holman and other ones coming through?
Obviously there's been some real positives over the last couple of weeks, and you know, it is a long year, but certainly you know they're a real positive for the club. Getting back to your question, the St Kilda model, we've got our own model that will go down. You know, it's we've come up with it, it's been ticked off by the board, and that's the model we'll go along with.
How do you expect that time to last? What should fans expect the next
time? Look, we understand that we've really got to get some depth in our list and build that depth, and that's obviously, we've got to go to the draft. We've got to select well, and we've got to trade smart. So ultimately, that's what it is. We're not going to tip the baby out with the bathwater. We've got to do some smart trading, some smart list management, and obviously we've got a plan, and we'll go with that plan, which has been ticked off by the board and the football department.
There's been a bit of talk about this year's draft, Steve. It might be a bit of a shy one. How heavily do you see yourself sort of investing in the draft this year?
Look, we'd like picks in the draft, but having said that, it really depends on where those picks actually lie, you know. So, you know, obviously we're still assessing our list. We've assisted our list at the start of the year, at the halfway mark, and, you know, we've got to keep continue to do that. You know, there have been some surprises over the last couple of weeks. Not surprises, but guys that are actually putting up their hand to say, listen, I want to be part of this club long term. And that's really pleasing. So, you know, we'll continue to monitor what's on our list and what's on other clubs' lists as well.
You'd
like to have two
first round picks. I'd like three or four. Yeah. go back to the Giants. look. You know, it's easy to say that. I mean, ultimately, you've got to look at the deal in its entirely. We need to know what's going in and what's going out. We don't want to lose talent, you know, and particularly our elite talent. It's a tough competition, but we know also that, you know, if you're going to get something in, you need to do something. The deal needs to be fair in a lot of ways. Obviously, you like to win on the deal, but, you know, clubs are smarter than what they have been in the past.
Yeah, no, just excited to be back and looking forward to working with the boys. Yeah, I'm just a point of contact for the boys through the week and every fortnight. So, yeah, it's an honour to be a coach and help the boys out when I can.
Speaking of coaches, Steve, has John Barker's stocks risen the last couple of weeks as far as next year?
Well, you guys seem to think it has. He's doing a fantastic job at the moment. You know, when the circumstances are as they were and you have a change like that, it can be a difficult challenge. And I think that John and his entire coaching team have handled it really well. Regardless of whether it's been a win or a loss, I just think the way that they've gone about it's been first class. So we've got another, 10 or 11 weeks to go, and plenty of time to make assessments. That's for him to make assessments and for us. But it's a great opportunity for him to audition, you know, right under our noses. So he started very well.
Have you approached anyone yet? Not a candidate.
Would you like me to lay out the names, John, and just give you the? We've started to make some calls, and had what I would call the fireside chats, and just trying to go through a process of discovery at the moment. We feel like we've got, you know, within reason, we feel like we've got plenty of time. And I don't overplay that, but. You know, I feel like we've got some time at hand to be able to make some good, clear, reasoned, timely assessments. But at the moment, it's really just a process of discovery.
I know you're not going to name names, but is there a shortlist at the moment?
And not yet, no.
But is there a number of applicants you're looking at, or any sort of ballpark figure?
Well, I hate to be bland about it, but we are genuinely approaching it with an open mind in terms of a whole range of things, just to see what's out there, who's interested, what's out there. And so, no, there's no shortlist at the moment. It is setting a framework for, if you like, the type of coach, given where we believe Carlton is at and where we're trying to take the club, and a coach fitting into that rather than a coach coming in and, in perhaps the old methodology of turning things upside down in terms of this is the way and my way or the highway. We're really clear as a board and management football group as to where we're taking the club. So it's really important for us, and the coach has a key role in that, to fit within what we're trying to do at Carlton. So we're framing that up with the panel, making sure that's really clear, and then going through this process of discovery and seeing, you know, who might be in the frame and who might not be. That's where we're up to at the moment.
So is that a model of a young and old together, or is it? Can you reveal that?
No, I can't.
Stephen, your thrice over there gets two of bloody one, and you're scratching anyway.
Yeah, a little. And I look, without regurgitating, revisiting, re-prosecuting the whole thing, It is odd. It is odd that that a strong tackle gets more than the charge, the other charge. There's no doubt about that. I think there'd be a majority of football people would question that. I think that would be fair. What we also understand, though, is that the outcome is the determinant, and footballers today have to live with that, and we have to live with it because it's the way the AFL has set it up. But it doesn't stop you from going, yeah, it doesn't seem to quite line up.
Is it fair that the outcome is more of a determinant?
Well, I put myself in the shoes of the AFL. I think you need to do that before firing a shot. You know, how would one want to administer the game such that you don't get outcomes of serious head injuries? And it's a very difficult thing to do. So by putting the players in their entirety, you know, 800 plus across the competition on notice in terms of duty of care, I don't think you can argue with that. But it does create, in this 360 degree game of ours, some complexity about lining up penalty for those sorts of things. I'm not going to re-prosecute the thing with Bryce, but they're two long weeks for him, put it that way.
We've seen some pretty massive salaries for coaches, Stephen, with some of the people have been headhunted recently. If a big name became available, would you look at a salary in that $1 million mark, or is that...
Yeah. Look, I hate to disappoint you, but whether it's a young and an old, or an old and a young, or the salary, or the type, I just don't want to lock us into that. And even if we're really crystal clear about one particular model, I hate to tell you, I wouldn't be, revealing that at the moment either, because it just wouldn't be appropriate to do that. So I'm sorry to let you down.
We'll go one more.
Could I just ask about the Gold Coast situation as administrator of another club? Is it strange to have the illicit drug policy being dealt with by a club, where in fact normally it's done outside and the club has no idea, I guess, or no indication as to if their players are using illicit substances?
Well, I know you think it's benign, but I don't think it's appropriate for me to comment on what's going on up there at the moment. I don't understand it well enough. You know, I'm reading, and I just don't have enough information to be able to speak sensibly about it, even if I wanted to. So I think it would be dangerous territory. And if I was in Andrew Travis's position, I wouldn't want someone commenting about my club if they didn't have the facts.
Can you just finish with Nick? Steve, can I just ask you how confident you are of retaining Robbie Henderson next year?
Look, I'm in constant contact with Lockie's manager and also in discussions with Lockie. So we're comfortable where things sit at the minute. We met probably a week to 10 days ago, so that was our last conversation, so there were some positive signs there.